उपसंसृत्य मालिनम् यथार्हणम् असंस्कृतम्। Can someone read the translation?
Entering that most sacred spot with his daughter and going near the sage, the first monarch, Swayambhu Manu, saw the sage sitting in his hermitage. Having just propitiated the sacred fire by pouring oblations into it, his body shone most brilliantly. Though he had engaged in austere penance for a long time, he was not emaciated. For the Lord had cast his affectionate sidelong glance upon him, and he had also heard the nectar flowing from the moon-like words of the Lord. The sage was tall, his eyes were large, like the petals of a lotus, and he had matted locks on his head. He was clad in rags. Swayambhu Manu approached and saw him to be somewhat soiled, like an unpolished gem.
The description of Kardama Muni is given in these three verses. So, he is a brahmachari yogi so far. In the morning, the first duty of a brahmachari is to offer some oblations into sacrifice. So, it was current in those days. But for us, in the morning, we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, this is what Prabhupada has prescribed for us. So, but in the traditional system, the first duty of a brahmachari seeking spiritual elevation is Huta Huta Asana, to offer sacrificial oblations to the Supreme Lord. So Swayambhu Manu reached Kardama Muni's hermitage, where he saw Kardama Muni in this way. So Kardama Muni, his body was shining very brilliantly. Though he had engaged in severe austerities for 10,000 years, still he was not emaciated. He was not looking thin, or he was not looking very weak, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead cast his sidelong glances upon him, merciful glances upon him. Vidyotamanam vapusha tapasyugra yujachiram natikshamam na atikshamam bhagavataha snigdha pangavalokanad snigdha apavangalokanad. So Lord is very affectionate towards Kardama Muni. With such affection he glanced upon him. That was nourishment for Kardama Muni. Kardama Muni was nourished by the affectionate glance of the Lord. So, he was not emaciated. And also, he was hearing Vachasamritena. We were describing this morning, right? Vachasamritena. Lord's words are like Amrita, nectar, because he speaks from the transcendental world. So, he was nourished by hearing, and he also was nourished by glances. Both by darshan and by sravanam, he was very nourished. So, snigdha smita avalokena vacha yannama kirtayan charitrenana vadhyena sriniketana chatmanaha. This is how the Lord was described in the beginning chapters of third canto. Snigdha smita avalokena. Smita and avaloka are very pure. Lord's glance and Lord's smile are very pure and uncontaminated and very affectionate. Snigdha smita avalokena vacha yannama kirtayan. So his words are very beautiful. Words are nectarian, right? And his kirtan, his glories are also very nectarian. So charitrayana anavadhyena. So Lord's charitra, Lord's character is completely spotless, right? Charitrayana anavadhyena sriniketana chatmanaha. So Lord is the one who carries Shri, goddess of fortune, on his chest. So he nourished Kardama Muni in this way. So the sage was tall, his eyes were large like lotus petals, and he had matted locks on his head. He was clad in rags. He was not wearing very opulent clothing. He was in a very simple clothing. So Manu approached and saw him to be somewhat soiled, just like an unpolished gem. Gem is gem whether polished or unpolished. But here, because he is sitting, he is living in a setup which is very simple and modest, which is hermitage atmosphere, not a palace atmosphere. He was looking unpolished, but he is gem. Right, that is the comparison here. So Prabhupada writes, if one lives otherwise, without following the rules and regulations of a brahmachari in the beginning, if one lives otherwise, it will be manifest in the lust visible in his face and body. Right? So, Kardama Muni, he performed austerities, he performed his morning duties very nicely. So, he was looking very resplendent and shining and brilliant in his appearance. However, without such background of practice of sincere sadhana and chanting of the holy names and following the rules and regulations prescribed for a brahmachari yogi, he appears very faded and the lust in his heart is visible on his face and body. Prabhupada writes like that. Right? The word vidyotamanam indicates that the brahmachari feature showed in his body. This is the certificate that one has undergone great austerity in yoga. A drunkard or smoker or sex monger can never be eligible to practice yoga. So snigdha apanga lokanat means that he was fortunate enough to see the Supreme Lord face to face. He looked healthy because he had directly received the nectarian sound vibrations from the lips of the Lord. Prabhupada writes a very wonderful health formula here. Similarly, one who hears the transcendental sound vibration of the holy name of the Lord Hare Krishna also improves in health. Right? We have actually seen many people have improved their health. Many brahmacharis and grihasthas connected with the International Society for Krishna Consciousness have improved in health. And the luster has come to their faces. It is essential that a brahmachari engaged in spiritual advancement look very healthy and lustrous. Even if a gem has taken from a mine looks unpolished, the luster of the gem cannot be stopped. Okay, 48th verse. Athotajam upayatam nrityevam pranatam puraha saparyaya paryagrihnat pratinandyanurupaya.
Seeing that the monarch had come to his hermitage and was bowing before him, the sage greeted him with benediction and received him with due honor.
So seeing that the monarch had come to his hermitage, the sage bowed before him. So this is not a regular etiquette, because Brahmana is considered superior to Kshatriya, and a Kshatriya is supposed to offer obeisances to a Brahmana, and Brahmana need not offer obeisances to Kshatriya. That is the Vedic system as per Varnashram. This is how mutually Brahmanas and Kshatriyas honor each other. And it's not considered an offense also. Right? So the sage greeted him with benediction and received him with due honor. And seeing the monarch had come to and was bowing before him. Here Swayambhumanu definitely bowed before him, before Kardama, and later it will also be mentioned that he was also honoring. Kardama Muni also honored Swayambhumanu. Next. Grihitarhanam asinam samyatam priyanayan munihi smaran bhagavadadesham ityaha slakshnaya gira.
After receiving the sage's attention, the king sat down and was silent. Recalling the instructions of the Lord, Kardama then spoke to the king as follows, delighting him with his sweet accents.
So Kardama Muni started speaking to Manu. Manu is a very honored guest at Kardama Muni's hermitage. So he started speaking. And how he started speaking? He remembered the instructions given by the Supreme Lord. Just day before yesterday, Lord told him, Kardama Muni will come day after tomorrow. So Manu will come day after tomorrow. So Manu has come as per Lord's words. So remembering those words, Kardama Muni started speaking to Swayambhu Manu. Nunam chankramanam deva satam samrakshanayate vadhaya chasatam yastvam harehe shaktirhi palini.
The tour you have undertaken, O Lord, is surely intended to protect the virtuous and kill the demons. since you embody the protecting energy of Sri Hari.
So Swayambhu Manu was a king. He came to the hermitage of Kardama Muni, and Kardama Muni said, kings like you tour to protect citizens in general. And who are you? Kings like you are the embodiment of Lord's protecting energy. See the last line. Hareh Shaktir Hi Palini. Lord's Palana Shakti empowers a king. So king is a representative of the Supreme Lord in the sense that the Supreme Lord's protecting power is coming, is manifesting in a king, through the medium of a king. So as a representative of Lord or Lord's Palana Shakti, a king will protect his citizens. Similarly, Parikshit Maharaj also, he was touring. As soon as he heard that some symptoms of Kali Yuga are creeping into my kingdom, immediately he took his bow and arrows, he mounted his chariot, and he started traveling to protect people from this onslaught of Kali Yuga. So these are the meanings of tours of king. So Prabhupada writes, pious kings of old used to tour their kingdoms in order to give protection to the pious citizens and to chastise or kill the impious. And they also sometimes go to hunt. They have to practice this killing art. And they go to the forests and start hunting. And not for their sense gratification, but to keep their military art alive. So, for example, say 10 years there is no war. Suddenly after 10 years some opposite king will attack him. Then he did not practice the art of killing, right? Using weapons since last so many years. So how can he immediately attack? To keep his military power intact, sometimes they go and hunt in the forests. And that is considered bona fide for the Kshatriyas. And they don't hunt innocent animals, they hunt some ferocious creatures, because there is another purpose. These ferocious creatures will sometimes come and disturb the peace of people in general. Right? So they may come on the citizens. So to protect the citizens from these ferocious animals also, sometimes kings may hunt. Right? Here, Kshatriyas are allowed to commit violence in that way because violence for a good purpose is a part of their duty. The protecting energy of the Lord is supposed to be the energy of the Supreme Lord. Right? And in this age, it is very difficult to find such a head of state who is expert in killing the undesirables. Modern heads of the state sit very nicely in their palaces and try without reason to kill innocent persons. 51. So first he glorified Swayambhu Manu as the representative of Lord's protecting power. That is the theme of the first verse. Next verse. Yorkendvagnindra vayunam yamadharma prachetasam rupani sthana adhasthe tasmai shuklayate namaha.
You assume when necessary the part of the sun god, the moon god, Agni, the god of fire, Indra, the lord of paradise, Vayu, the wind god, Yama, the god of punishment, Dharma, the god of piety, and Varuna, the god presiding over the waters. All obeisances unto you, who are none other than Lord Vishnu.
Yo Arka, Indu, Agni, Indra, Vayu, Yama, Dharma, Prachetasam. These are all various demigods. A king is a representative of all these demigods. Now, Prithu Maharaj is a Shaktyavesh avatar. The Shakti is Lord's Palana Shakti. And Prithu Maharaj was also glorified as embodiment of all these demigods. A king is supposed to be the embodiment of all these demigods because all the qualities of these demigods will manifest in the king. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, the king is compared to the sun for his majesty. King is sometimes compared to fire for his invincibility. Fire is invincible. And Indra, king is compared to Indra for his lordship. He is the lord of the entire kingdom. And king is compared to Vayu, because Vayu is all-pervading. King also is supposed to be all-pervading. All pervading in the sense that he knows every nook and corner of his kingdom, right? What is the geography of his kingdom? What are the emotions of people in his kingdom? He employs spies everywhere. Lord Ramachandra had sent his spies everywhere. One spy called Bhadra observed an incident where a washerman was chastising his wife, saying that I cannot accept you because you stayed in someone else's house for so many days. I am not like Lord Ram to accept a wife who stayed in someone else's house for so long time. So, like that, Lord Ram was aware of whatever is happening in his kingdom. What are citizens thinking about him? So that is that quality of a king is compared to being Vayu. So like the different qualities of demigods would manifest in a king. Right? Or a king is supposed to exhibit those qualities of demigods. So Yama, king is compared to Yamaraj because he punishes sinful people. Similarly, in a kingdom, someone commits some mistake, king is supposed to punish him, rectify him, put him in jail or give him some other punishment. Right? King is supposed to be Dharma, the demigod of piety, because he has to protect the righteous people, pious people. And king is sometimes compared to Varuna because he is deep and having hidden treasure. So Varuna is the lord of waters. Right? Inside the ocean there are so many jewels and so much treasury. So king also is supposed to maintain the treasure house. So like that, king is supposed to be the embodiment of all these demigods. However, the Supreme Personality of Godhead also is the source of all these demigods. Aham adirhi devana maharshinam ja sarvashah. Right? So, that does not mean king is God. King is definitely a representative of the Supreme Lord. King is definitely an embodiment of all the demigods. But he does it as a representative of the Lord. He should not think himself to be the God. That's what Vena did. When the sages said, why are you stopping the sacrifices in your kingdom? Sacrifices to Lord Vishnu are very prosperous for the citizens. So Vena said, I am God, right? I am Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I am a king, I am embodiment of all demigods, I am representative of the Lord for you. All of you should are supposed to worship me. Why are you worshipping Vishnu? Why are you complaining that I am not allowing the worship of Vishnu? I am God. So like that Vena started thinking. So sages cursed him and pulled him down from the throne and made him die. Sages, just by using mantras, they killed Vena, king. So, king's responsibility is to exhibit these qualities of demigods and protect the citizens. And king is supposed to represent the Palana Shakti of the Lord. He should never think himself to be God. So, Swayambhu Manu is such a glorious king. So, all these demigods would offer obeisances to the Supreme Lord. This beautiful verse comes in the 12th canto, last chapter. Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutah Stunvanti Divyaistavaihi Vedai Sangapadakramopanishadair Gayanti Yam Samagah Dhyanavasthita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yogino Yasyantam Navidursura Suragana Devaya Tasmai Namah. So Yam Brahma Varuna Indra Rudra Maruta Stunvanti Divyaistavaihi. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is praised in divine poetry by Brahma, Rudra, Varuna, all these demigods. Right? So that is the position of the Supreme Lord. Vedaihi Sanga Padakramopanishadair Gayantiyam Samagaha. So in the choicest words and statements taken from the Vedas and Upanishads, Lord is glorified in choicest poetry. Dhyana avasthita tadgatena manasa pashyantiyam yogino. Lord is perceived in the hearts of great yogis who meditate on him with devotion. Right? Yasyantam navidur surasuraganaha devaya tasmai namaha. So, his glories are unfathomable. They are not conceivable for people in general. Right? So, that is Supreme Lord. Sometimes the king's description may match the Lord, but it does not mean. King also is praised by so many bards, professional bards. Prithu Maharaj was praised. Immediately, what did he say? I never manifested all these qualities. Why are you praising me? It will be false. It will be like an insult. It will be mockery. Don't praise me. Even if you want to praise me in future after I manifest these qualities, do it in private, not in public. So Prithu Maharaj is not very eager to accept praise. So king is supposed to have all these qualities. Since the sage Kardama was a Brahmana and Swayambhuva was a Kshatriya, The sage was not supposed to offer obeisances to the king because social position was higher. But he offered his obeisances to Swayambhu Manu. So this is what I was referring to in the previous verse. But he offered his obeisances to Swayambhu Manu because Manu, a king and emperor, he was the representative of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord is always worshipable, regardless of whether one is a Brahmana, a Kshatriya or a Shudra. So Manu's Kardama Muni's offering obeisances to Swayambhu Manu, who is a king, is justified because from Manu's side, from Kardama Muni's side, he was thinking Manu to be the representative of the Lord. Similarly, a king also considers a Brahmana representative of the Lord. He offers him exalted seat and then he worships him as if he is the Supreme Lord. So other sections of the society may consider a Brahmana or a Kshatriya as good as the Supreme Lord and worship him like that. But the Brahmana or Kshatriya themselves will not consider themselves equal to the Lord. That will make them degraded, like Vena. Right? So representative of the Lord. What makes a king representative of the Lord? His sincere following of the instructions of Brahmanas. His sincere following of the injunctions of the Supreme Lord. Yudhishthira Maharaj being an ideal king, he is also representative of the Lord. But what made him representative of the Lord? Nishamya Bhishmoktam Athachyutoktam. He was sincerely following the instructions of Bhishma and Achyuta, Krishna, and ruling the citizens very carefully. So he deserves all respect as a king. Right? Everyone should worship him as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he is a bona fide representative of a king. A representative will never consider himself as the personality whom he is representing. So king is representing God, but king will never think himself God. So then he is a bona fide representative. So Brahmanas are also representing the Lord because why Brahmanas represent the Lord? They are considered representatives of the Lord because they present the knowledge given by the Lord as it is. They act as a transparent via medium between the Lord and people in general. And whatever is the Lord's message, they will transmit it as it is. As long as they are doing it, so Brahmanas are representatives of the Lord. This verse comes. Kasmayena vibhasitoya madulo jnana pradipa pura tadrupena chanaradaya munaye krishnaya tadrupina yogi indraya tadatmanata bhagavadrataya karunyata tat shuddham vimalam vishokam amritam satyam param dhimahi. So whatever Krishna spoke to Brahmaji, Brahma being the original Brahmana, he spoke that same knowledge to Narada Muni. Whatever Brahma spoke to Narada Muni, that same knowledge he gave to Vyasadeva. Whatever Narada Muni spoke to Vyasadeva, he gave that same knowledge to Sukadeva Goswami. Whatever Vyasadeva spoke to Sukadeva Goswami, he gave that same knowledge to Parikshit Maharaj and Suta Goswami. And whatever Suta Goswami heard from Sukadeva Goswami, he gave that same knowledge to Naimisharanya sages. Like that, the parampara lineage of Brahmanas is there. All of them are representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they present the message of the Lord as it is. And they may add something to make it relevant and understandable for the audience whom they are addressing. However, the essential message given to them by the Lord and their previous acharyas will remain as it is. That will make them representatives of the Lord. So Brahmanas are representatives of the Lord. They deserve respect from Kshatriyas also, although they receive charity from Kshatriyas and they are maintained to some extent in an external level by the Kshatriyas. And Kshatriyas represent the Supreme Lord, they deserve respect from Brahmanas, right? Like that. So we can, in the next several verses, we will see the wonderful relationship between Kshatriyas and Brahmanas and their positions. We will see now. 52nd verse. नयदारथमास्थाय जैत्रं मणिगणार्पितं विस्फुरद् चण्डकोडण्डो रथेन त्रासयन् अघान् स्वसैन्यचरणक्षुण्णन् वेपयन् मण्डलं भुवः. vikarshan bhratim senam vikarshan bhratim senam paryatasyam shuman iva tadaiva setava sarve varnashrama nibandhata bhagavadrachita rajan
If you did not mount your victorious jeweled chariot, whose mere presence threatens culprits, if you did not produce fire sounds by the twanging of your bow, and if you did not roam about the world like the brilliant sun, leading a huge army whose trampling feet cause the globe of the earth to tremble, then all the moral laws governing the varnas and ashramas created by the Lord Himself would be broken by the rogues and rascals.
So what is the importance of a king if he does not punish the sinful people, if he does not twang his bow and cause terror in the hearts of enemies who might disrupt the peace of the society? Whatever moral laws are governing the varnas and ashramas created by the Lord will be broken. So why Krishna became so ecstatic when Yudhishthira Maharaj was sitting on the throne? Because he is a devotee king. He makes sure that dharma is protected, and he also makes sure that people perform bhakti. So all the ordinary moral codes and also dharma, artha, kama, moksha, four purusharthas and also varnas and ashramas are maintained nicely on an external level. And also the essence of all this, which is practicing bhakti yoga towards the Supreme Lord, that also is emphasized when a devotee king rules. So that is the glory of a devotee king. So when such a ideal monarch is not there, then the society would be in chaos. That's what Shamika Rishi was also concerned about. When his son Sringi very immaturely, unintelligently, very impudently cursed Parikshit Maharaj to die in 7 days, Shamika Rishi was very much perturbed. He said, you know what is the importance of monarch? Several verses come. Shamika Rishi speaks to glorify the importance of monarchs, kings. So Prabhupada writes, it is the duty of a responsible king to protect the social and spiritual orders of human society. The spiritual orders are divided into 4 ashramas: Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. And social orders, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudras. So the most advanced human society was known as Arya. Arya refers to those who are advancing. So what is the advancement? Advancement does not mean creating material necessities unnecessarily. Unnecessary material necessities. And thus wasting human energy in aggravating over so-called material comforts. Real advancement is advancement towards spiritual realization. And the community which acted towards this end was known as Aryan civilization. An ideal king, a devotee king, is supposed to maintain his kingdom as Aryan kingdom, civilized kingdom, not a degraded kingdom. The institution of 4 varnas and 4 ashramas is confirmed herewith to be Bhagavad Rachita. See, Bhagavad Rachita Rajan Bhidyaran Bata Dashubihi. Last 2 lines is Varnashramacharya Nibandhanaha. Nibandhana means rules and regulations of Varnas and Ashramas. They are done by Bhagavan, Bhagavad Rachita. So he is concerned about that. So this Varna and Ashrama, this whole system is created by the Lord, Bhagavad Rachita. Even Krishna says, what is Chaturvarnam Maya Srishtam Gunakarma Vibhagasaha. Lord only has created this Varnashrama system. Even Uddhava Gita also, Lord elaborately describes Varnashram system. So they have to be maintained properly by an able king. So Prabhupada says, anything created by the Lord can never be closed or covered. Another point, brilliant point Prabhupada brings out is, even if the king is not an able king, he is not ensuring that Varnas and Ashramas are not being maintained in the kingdom, still, because they are created by the Lord, these Varnas and Ashramas exist. These sections in the society by default exist. in a covered way or in a perverted way or in whatever way they exist. A teaching class, an intellectual class will always exist. A mercantile class will always exist. An administration class will always exist. A working class, labor class will always exist. Whether they are called as so-and-so varna, so-and-so ashrama, that may or may not be there. That understanding may not be there. But they are continuously existing. Because Lord has created it. So Lord's creation cannot be extinguished. Whether in their original form or a degraded form, varnas and ashramas exist. Right? So they are like sun, a creation of God. Therefore they will remain. Sometimes sun may be covered by clouds. Similarly in Kali Yuga, varnashram system may be covered by modern propaganda. However, in a covered way, he will continue to exist. Just like sun, although he is covered by the clouds, he is still existing. It may not be apparent. Sunshine may not be very apparent. Right? Sun globe may not be very nicely seen. They are like sun, a creation of God, and therefore will remain. Either covered by clouds or in a clear sky, the sun will continue to exist. Right? But when there is hatred and malpractice and mutual mistrust in the caste system, the whole system becomes degraded. And it creates a deplorable state. At the present moment, the entire world is in a deplorable condition because of giving rights to so many interests. Next, 55th verse. Adharmascha samedheta lolupair vyankshusair nribhihi Shayane Tvayi Lokoyam Dasyugrasto Vinangshyati.
If you gave up all thought of world situation, unrighteousness would flourish, for men who hanker only after money would be unopposed. Such miscreants would attack and the world would perish.
So what will happen if a king becomes irresponsible or if he does not take care properly? Miscreants would attack and they will flourish and the world will perish. Because the scientific divisions of varnas and ashramas is now being extinguished, the entire world is being governed by unwanted men who have no training in religion, politics or social order. So Prabhupada in some other place he writes that a kshatriya, an administrator, is supposed to be twice born. All the upper classes, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishyas, they are all twice born people. First birth is seminal birth from mother and father. Second birth is spiritual birth from a bona fide guru. So all the administrators taking charge of the kingdom are supposed to be twice born. Right? They should have a spiritual birth. They are supposed to be dvija. So when dvijas are not ruling the kingdom, only single born people are ruling, once born people are ruling the kingdom, what else you will expect? They will always create chaos. So only twice born dvija people who have a bona fide guru in a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya, they are supposed to be ruling. Such people will take care of the kingdom nicely. Right? Entire world is administrated by people who are not twice born. That was, Prabhupada expresses this concern in the first canto, 17th and 18th chapters. 17th and 16th chapters in Kali. In Parikshit Maharaj and Kali episode. The society is now in chaos and there is neither peace nor prosperity. It is clearly stated herein that unless there is the vigilance of a strong king, impious, unqualified men will claim a certain status in society and that will make the social order perish. So unqualified people will claim status. Right? People who are not supposed to be ruling, they will claim rulership. People who are not supposed to be handling scriptures, they will claim to be the authorized people who can speak about scriptures. So like that, the qualification is getting reduced and people are artificially holding certain positions and that position is accompanied by certain power and influence. And unqualified people are holding power and influence, what will happen? Other people in general will be in chaos. That is the condition in Kali Yuga. So that is the difference between the administration of Vena and Parikshit. Vena is not a good king. Parikshit is a good king. So that is the difference between them. 56th verse. Athapi pruchhetvam veera यदर्थं त्वं इहागतः तद्वयं निर्व्यलीकेन प्रतिपद्यामहे हृदा.
In spite of all this, I ask you, O valiant king, the purpose for which you have come here. Whatever it may be, we shall carry it out without reservation.
So you have come, you are a great king, such an ideal king. So you have come all the way to my hermitage. What is your purpose? Kardamuni already knows, because Lord himself told him, right? It was not a secret to Kardamuni. And Swayambhumanu arrived with his daughter and wife also. But still he is asking, he should not be over enthusiastic in presenting, I know what, where you have come from, come for, right? So I already know it, so I am ready for action. So all that he doesn't say. He'll say, whatever may be your purpose, I want to hear that purpose from your own mouth, and whatever it may be, we will fulfill, right? With a respectful attitude, he mentioned it. Whatever it may be, we shall carry it out without reservation, nirvyali kena. Without duplicity, without reservation, we will carry it out. When a guest comes to a friend's house, it is understood that there is some special purpose. Kardamuni understood that a great king as Swayambhumana, Manu, although travelling to inspect the condition of his kingdom, must have had some special purpose to come for his hermitage. So sages used to go to kings, and kings used to visit sages. So sages sometimes Vishwamitra goes to Dasharatha Maharaj, he has some work to do. Sometimes Manu comes to Kardamuni's house. So like that, sages, brahmanas visit kings, and kings visit brahmanas. So that kind of mutual visits are there. This reciprocal relationship is called bhakti karya. There is a nice verse describing the relationship of mutual beneficial interest between the brahmana and the kshatriya. Kshatram means royal order, dvijatva means brahmanical order. The royal order would give protection to the brahmanas for the cultivation of spiritual advancement in the society, and the brahmanas would give their valuable instruction to the royal order on how the state and the citizens can gradually be elevated in spiritual perfection. So brahmanas guide kshatriyas, kshatriyas maintain brahmanas. That is their mutual understanding and cooperation. That mutual cooperation between the higher classes, top classes, brahmanas and kshatriyas, will inspire Vaishyas and Sudras also to conduct themselves properly. Right? So that we will discuss more later. Prabhupada makes this point in the next purports. So Prabhupada writes, these brahmanas, although they are knowledgeable, they are not interested in maintaining wealth. They will maintain themselves, and to maintain themselves, whatever wealth is needed, they will get by charity from the kings or Vaishyas or Sudras, whoever, and maintain themselves. And they constantly give guidance, spiritual guidance, guidance on spiritual values, and also how to conduct one's own life in this material world. Practical guidance also brahmanas will give to the other classes of the society. For example, in the Chaitanya Charitamrit, when astrologer comes to Lord Chaitanya, so Prabhupada writes in that context, several purports, 2-3 purports he would write. He would say these astrologers would go from house to house and give their knowledge to people, however poor they may be. They will give that knowledge to people in general and enlighten them with the highest knowledge, bona fide knowledge. They will see their hand, or they will do something and give the astrology. So for example, in a poor man's house, he has to conduct the marriage of his son or daughter. So he needs some astrological guidance. So brahmanas are constantly traveling from house to house. One brahmana will come to their house and then give astrology, right, for free. And in return, the brahmana might get a handful of rice or some fruits or something else, some cloth from that householder, and then he is happy to maintain. So in the Vedic society, even the poorest man will also have access to the highest knowledge. In the modern society, to have highest consultancy, you need to pay a lot of money. So all these brahmanas who are astrologers, are physicians, are expert in some other knowledge, so they would constantly roam, a section of brahmanas, so they would go from house to house to enlighten people in all these things. So treatment, medical treatment is also available. Ayurvedic doctors who are Brahmana sometimes would travel, give some medical advice and medical guidance to people in general. So like that, people have access to it. In return, if they are going to a wealthy person, he may give some costly clothes or something else to him for his maintenance. If he goes to a poor person, he may give a handful of rice or some fruits or some flowers to the Brahmanas. Brahmanas are happy. Whatever dakshina you may give us, and whatever knowledge I have, I will give. I will act according to the best of my capacity. You act according to the best of your capacity. Both have no tendency to exploit each other or cheat each other. So like that in the Brahmanic, in the Vedic society, there is a mutual dependency between the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, and that is a very pleasant society. Right? And everybody is given their respect. Whenever some events happen in Nanda Maharaj's house or Yashodamai's house, they would call Brahmanas. Right? Uttana ceremony. Immediately, Brahmanas would come. So they would perform their rituals and then do their mantras and Vedic chanting. Yashodamai and Nanda Maharaj would give them a lot of dakshina. They are happy, they are satisfied, they give blessings and they go away. Right? The, like that, Brahmanas are maintained by the other classes of society. So Nanda Maharaj, Yashodamai, they were playing their parts of Vaishyas. So they were maintaining. They would give cows. They would give clothes, they would give ornaments. So like that, without working, just by distributing knowledge, whether it is external or internal, spiritual or material, Brahmanas would maintain themselves like that. Next. And on the other hand, Kshatriyas also would maintain Brahmanas nicely, maintain other classes of the society also nicely. So when Kshatriya does not take care of the kingdom properly, he does not rule according to the religious principles, Mother Earth has all rights to withdraw the natural resources. That happened in the case of Veena. When Mother Earth is not producing sufficient amount of grain or seeds or flowers or fruits, etc., natural resources, that is because of the maladministration of misguided kings. So Earth is not obliged to do all that. But if the king is ruling according to religious principles, so his kingdom is very prosperous. We can see in Parikshit Maharaj's kingdom and Yudhishthir Maharaj's kingdom, Mother Cow is happy there. So that is 21st chapter. We will begin 22nd chapter now. The marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti. Maitreya Uvacha Evam Avishkrita Sesha Gunakarmodayo Munim Savi Savrida Ivatam Samrat Uparatam Uvachaha.
Sri Maitreya said, after describing the greatness of the emperor's manifold qualities and activities, the sage became silent, and the emperor, feeling modesty, addressed him as follows.
So Kardama Muni not only glorified Manu in specific, but he generally enumerated the qualities of a good king. Now you see how Manu takes it. Manu considered the personal aspect of the glorification and he felt very embarrassed. He felt very ashamed and was not very comfortable hearing his own glories. A humble person, when he is glorified, he would not be very enthusiastic to hear that glorification or very eager. He would feel embarrassed. But a proud person, he wants himself to be glorified. He is very eager to hear his own glorification. But Manu is very modest. He was embarrassed. So, evam avishkrita asesha gunakarmodayo munim. Asesha gunakarmodayo. So many qualities, so many virtues he has. And Kardama Muni was glorifying. Savrida ivatam samrat uparatam uvachaha. Savrida means he is feeling very humble and modest. Right? People get intoxicated by hearing their own glories, but devotees are not like that. Right? Sometimes they forcefully make others also to glorify. Somebody is worshipping Hari and Hiranyakashipu says, not Hari, say Hiranyakashipu Namaha. Right, they forcefully accept worship and glorification. Right? No, Manu is responding. Manu Ruvacha Brahma Srijatsva Mukhato Yushman Atma Paripsaya Chandomayastapo Vidya Yoga Yuktan Alampatan.
Manu replied, to expand himself in Vedic knowledge, Lord Brahma, the personified Veda, from his face created you. The Brahmanas, who are full of austerity, knowledge and mystic power and are averse to sense gratification.
So Manu is saying, Brahma asrijatsva mukhato. Brahmaji has created you from his own face. Swamukhato. Yushman atma parishraya. Paripsaya. So Brahma is creating Brahmanas in the beginning. For what? To preserve the Vedas by propagating them. Brahmanas are created by Brahma to preserve the Vedas. How can Vedas be preserved? By propagation. Preservation happens by propagation. So preservation does not mean preserving this manuscripts in a nice locker and locking it and never opening it. So that is not preservation. Preservation is propagation. Vedic knowledge should be spread. Knowledge will increase, will flourish only when it is shared with others. When it is locked, it is not spread. So Brahmaji created Brahmana specifically for this purpose. So in Kali Yuga, many Brahmanas, they don't do this service of propagating the Vedas and just preserving them. But what do? They keep aside the manuscripts and they also imitate the Kshatriyas or Vaishyas or Shudras. Generally Shudras. Kali Yuga means mostly Shudras. So they imitate the Shudras. Brahmanas give up their occupation and imitate the Shudras. Why? Brahmanas never work for their maintenance. They sustain based on the charity from the other three classes. But Brahmanas thought that, we should earn our own livelihood. How can we sustain based on others' mercy? So we will work like Shudras. So they enter the Shudra community and then work under some employers and then they gain money. They think that they are advanced. So Kali Yuga atmosphere will convince the Brahmanas to think like that. People, although from generations, people worship the family deity or they are like pujaris in certain temple, but the same pujaris will not have any conviction anymore as the generations are going forward. So they will send their children to work or to study in cities, and then they will shift to cities and then they are well settled, right? One who is not very competent enough will continue as a pujari, and it is considered a defeat for them. So that is the degradation of Brahmanas that happens in Kali Yuga. But Brahma asrijat sva mukhato yushman atma paripsaya. For the propagation of Vedas, Brahmanas were created by Brahmaji. Then, what are the other qualities of Brahmanas? Chandomayas tapo vidyah. Chandomaya means they are the form of the Vedas. Tapo, they are filled with austerity. Vidya, they are very knowledgeable. Yoga, they have mystic powers. Yoga yuktan. Then alampatan is another important quality. Alampatan means they have no inclination to gratify their senses. No, they are fully equipped with detachment. The purpose of the Vedas is to propagate the transcendental knowledge of the absolute truth. The Brahmanas were created from the mouth of the Supreme Person, and therefore they are meant to spread the knowledge of the Vedas. In order to spread the glories of the Lord. This is the purpose of Brahmanas. So, first, Manu is explaining the relationship between Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, because Manu was not very confident. He was little bit fearing that Kardama may not accept his proposal, for which he has come all the way. So he first explained the relationship between Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. Right? So, Brahmanas are like the heart. Kshatriyas are like the arms of the society. Whenever there is an attack on the heart, arms will protect. Thus, Brahmanas are protected by the Kshatriyas externally. But how will the arms act? By the indications given by the heart. Right? So, Brahmanas protect the Kshatriyas by giving them guidance. Right? By giving them proper guidance. So like that, there is a mutual service and mutual protection offered to these two sections of the society. So actually there are two kinds of occupation. One occupation in the material world in sense gratification, other in spiritual activity to satisfy the Lord by His glorification. Those who engage in sense gratification are called demons, others are demigods. It is specifically mentioned that Brahmanas are created from the face of the cosmic personality, Virat Rupa. Similarly, Kshatriyas are created from His arms. Right? Bahavo Lokapalanam. That is mentioned, right? So these are the qualities of Brahmanas. Now, Kardamamuni, Manu further says, Tatrana Naya Srijat Chasman. Tatranaya Srijat Chasman. Doha Sahasrat Sahasrapat. Hridayam Tasya Hi Brahma. Kshatram Angam Prachakshate.
For the protection of the Brahmanas, the thousand-legged Supreme Being created us, the Kshatriyas, from His thousand arms. Hence, the Brahmanas are said to be His heart and the Kshatriyas His arms.
So, this is the concept. So, do sahasra sahasrapat. Here, Virat Purusha is explained. Or Garbhodak Sai Vishnu manifests that Virat Purusha. That's why He is glorified in Purusha Sukta. Sahasra sirisha purushaha sahasrakshas sahasrapat. Same thing is mentioned here also. So Brahmanas are said to be His heart and Kshatriyas His arms. Brahmanas protect the Kshatriyas and Kshatriyas protect the Brahmanas. So Lord specifically protects the Brahmanas and cows. That's why He is called Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha Jagadhitaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. So although there is mutual protection offered by each other, the Kshatriyas are more like the whole body. Even the whole body is bigger than the heart. Heart is more important. If the arms are taken out, still the body can survive. If the heart is taken out, body will die. Similarly, Brahmanas are the heart of the society. Their presence is more important. Because they will create a Kshatriya. In the kingdom of Anga Maharaj was trying so much to, you know the story, right? Fourth canto. He was trying to rectify the mentality of his son Vena, but Vena is not getting rectified. So Anga got frustrated and then he left. So Brahmanas thought that the kingdom should not be with the king. So as responsible Brahmanas, responsible for the maintenance of people in general, the citizens, so all the sages enthroned Vena, because as per the rule, the king's son would become the king there. But Vena turned out to be a very bad and cruel king. So although he is the son of Anga, he should not be in the ruling power because he is very wicked. So Brahmanas went and gave him good counseling. Vena is still not listening. So Brahmanas killed him. Then they saw the chaos in the society. Then Brahmanas went and churned the body of Vena and brought and removed the contamination in his body, which is coming from his mother Sunitha. So in the form of Bahuka or Nishadha, so he left. Then the proper part of his body, the virtuous part of his body, which is coming from Anga Maharaj, who is a devotee, is churned out in the form of Prithu Maharaj and Archi. So he came from the arms. So Brahmanas, because they are the heart of the society, they can guide the society nicely. And in the absence of an able king, they can rectify the chaos in the society. So they are more important, like that. So although these four ashramas are important, four varnas are important, there is a gradation amongst these varnas. Fourth verse. Ato hyanyonyam atmanam brahma kshatram cha rakshatah rakshatisma vayo deva Sayaha sadasadatmakaha.
That is why the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas protect each other as well as themselves and the Lord Himself, who is both the cause and effect and is yet immutable, protects them through each other.
Atohi anyonyam atmanam. Anyonyam means mutually, each other. They protect each other. Brahma kshatram cha rakshatah. They do rakshan of each other. Rakshati smavayo devaha sayad sadasadatmakaha. Now ultimately, Krishna is the protector. Whether Brahmanas are protecting the Kshatriyas or Kshatriyas are protecting the Brahmanas, ultimately both are protected by the Supreme Lord only. Krishna is the protector of both. Krishna is the protector of Brahmanas, Krishna is the protector of Kshatriyas also. So Krishna protects the Brahmanas through the Kshatriyas and Krishna protects the Kshatriyas through the Brahmanas. So they are all representatives of God to protect each other. So ultimately Krishna is the protector. So that is mentioned in this verse. So Brahmanas protect by the strength of their austerity and Kshatriyas protect by the strength of their body. So like that they protect each other. So this is the cooperative system. Brilliant purport. Prabhupada writes, the entire social structure of Varna and Ashrama is a cooperative system meant to uplift all to the highest platform of spiritual realization. The Brahmanas are intended to be protected by the Kshatriyas and Kshatriyas are intended to be enlightened by the Brahmanas. When both cooperate nicely, the other subordinate divisions, the Vaishyas and Sudras, automatically flourish. If the leaders of the society are fighting with each other and quarreling with each other and they are not cooperating with each other, where is the inspiration for the followers? If Brahmanas and Kshatriyas are not in conjunction with each other and they are not cooperating with each other, Vaishyas will not have a proper example or guidance or inspiration to follow. Same thing with the Shudras. So Vaishyas and Shudras will follow as per the example set by Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. So that point is highlighted here. So if there is no cooperation in the senior or the leadership, then the followers will be in confusion, will be in chaos, right? They will be thoroughly misguided because they are unable to see a right example in front of them of cooperation. How can you expect them to cooperate amongst themselves? That is the point here. So next paragraph, Prabhupada writes, the Lord is the real protector, but He is unattached to the affairs of protection. See, Lord's energies will do the needful. He creates Brahmanas and Kshatriyas and He remains aloof. He is nirvikara, without any activity. Namam karmani limpanti name karma phale spruhaha. I have no interest in doing any activity. My energies will run the show. So like that the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita. So He has nothing to do. He is so great that He does not perform action personally, but His energies act perfectly. So He trains the energies so nicely that they exactly act according to will without intruding into His personal affairs. For example, in Vrindavan, Krishna is absorbed in His mood of infancy. Krishna is absorbed in His mood of childhood or boyhood or youthhood. So He is experiencing nice exchanges with His mother, with His father, with His brother, with His friends and gopis. So He is doing His pastimes. So whenever a demon comes, automatically Krishna's energies will do the needful to rectify the situation so that Krishna's enjoyment can continue. Right? So Krishna wanted to play and Mother Yashoda wants to tie Him. So because Krishna wanted to play, His Leela Shakti, pastime potency, called the Vibhuta Shakti, the opulence, to manifest in Krishna's belly. So Yashoda Maya was unable to bind. Then Krishna, after seeing the endeavor, He was absorbed in His mood of infancy. He was just a 2-3-year-old boy. So He saw the labor of mother and then He felt little kind. Then immediately Krishna's Kripa Shakti came there and sent away this Vibhuta Shakti and Leela Shakti. You be aside. I came here. When I came here, you need not act. So Kripa Shakti manifested and Mother Yashoda immediately died. So like that, all the energies of Krishna would act in Vrindavan, perfectly aligning with the mood of Krishna without intruding into His leelas. Whatever Krishna desires, it's performed. Right? Energies will come. Sometimes Krishna may not call His energies for a long time. So all of them will be waiting. They we can learn a lot of service attitude principles from all these energies, right? Sometimes servants may need a lot of personal attention. If the masters don't look at servants, they feel spaced out and they feel very insecure. Are why I am not needed or what? Why he is wasting my time? Like that they will feel. But see, so many energies of Krishna are waiting for service. Whenever there is an opportunity for service, all these energies will jump, and that specific energy or energies only will jump for that service, so that Krishna's desires can be fulfilled. So he is absorbed in his mode of infancy, like that. He is absorbed in his mode of other pastimes. So energies will perfectly act, perfectly in alignment with the master. So he is so great that he does not perform action personally, but his energies act. Brahmanas and Kshatriyas and anything that we see are different energies acting upon one another. An energy may act upon another energy, but they cannot act upon the energetic. They cannot dominate the energetic. Prabhupada writes like that in some other purports also. So although the individual souls are all different, the super self are all different, the super self or super soul is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when these energies are cooperating with each other, Lord is very happy. Right? When there is complete cooperation among different individual souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being one in every individual soul, is pleased and gives them all protection. So cooperation amongst the individual souls is extremely pleasing to the Supreme Soul. Krishna is pleased when we cooperate with each other. So Prachetas were cooperating with each other in their performance of devotional service. They were staying together for 10,000 years underwater. They never had a difference of opinion. They were all cooperating with each other. The Lord came and said twice, Varam vrinidvam bhadram vo yuyam me nrupanandana sauhardena pratak dharma tushtoham saurhadena vaha. I am extremely pleased with your cooperative spirit and friendly relationships. Tell me, what benediction you want? So Prabhupada writes, this kind of cooperative mentality amongst the devotees will inspire the Lord to bestow all kinds of benedictions. Right? And if one receives Lord's benediction, what else is needed? So cooperation is very important. If the different castes and social sections apparently differently occupied in different activities, nevertheless act in full cooperation, then the Lord is pleased. So the job profile of Kshatriyas, Brahmanas, Vaishyas, Sudras, that may be different. They are differently occupied. They have different natures. They have different services. They have different occupational duties, different responsibilities. Yet, there is a mutual cooperation. Although two people are completely differently situated also, they can still cooperate with each other. That cooperating spirit is very pleasing to the Lord. He is the supreme proprietor. Therefore, he does not become divided by protecting the different individual souls. He remains one and the same. That the sun appears on top of everyone's head when at meridian does not imply that sun becomes divided. Although the Lord is expanding himself as super soul in everyone's heart, that does not mean he lost his individual existence. He divided himself, sabko baat diya, and he has nothing. He remains as it is, and he remains as individual soul in everybody's heart. So, next, fifth verse. Tava sandarshanat eva chinna me sarva samseya yatsvayam bhagavan pritya dharmam aha rirakshishoh.
Now, I have resolved all my doubts simply by meeting you, for your leader, lordship, has very kindly and clearly explained the duty of a king who desires to protect his subjects.
Now you see how Manu is accepting the glorification of Kardamuni. He felt embarrassed, but he did not take that glorification totally upon himself. He said, you enumerated the glories of a king, so my doubts are clarified because you have kindly and clearly explained the duty of a king. So he was feeling that I am in need of knowledge. I should be updated or educated about the duties of a king by hearing the glorification of Kardama Muni. I have learnt how to be a good king. So I am thankful to him. So that is his attitude, Manu. Sometimes, although the glorification is exaggerated, someone may be eager to receive it. Although it is false also, sometimes he may be eager to receive it. Right, thinking that, okay, I will do that also, so that that glorification becomes true. But although here the glorification is true, he says, it doesn't apply to me. I will endeavor to come to that standard. Thank you for explaining me what I am supposed to be doing. That's what he is saying genuinely, not as a lip service. So, on the other hand, we have this example of Dhritarashtra and Akrura. Once, Krishna had sent Akrura to Hastinapur to observe what's happening with Dhritarashtra, why he is so partial to his own sons and why he is mistreating his nephews, right? So you go and speak to Dhritarashtra. Like that, Krishna had sent Akrura. So Akrura went and told Dhritarashtra that you should not be partial to your sons. What about sons? You should be equal to all your citizens nicely. If that is the equanimity that a king is supposed to exhibit, what to speak of your equanimity towards your own sons and your brother's sons? So you should treat them very well. So like that, he gave a lot of counseling. And you know what Dhritarashtra said? Internally he was thinking, externally he said, yes, thank you very much for saying that. But internally he was thinking that whatever you have told, I already know. You don't have to say all this. I am already knowing this. But externally he presented himself as a humble person. I am very grateful for saying that. But what is his next dialogue? But your good instructions are like lightning in the cloud. They don't stay for long. I appreciate your instructions momentarily with a lot of pride and arrogance in my heart. But I cannot accept and execute your instructions. Because lightning appears like this and then it will go away. It will not perpetually stay in the cloud. So he did not accept. So one may accept glorification or good advice externally, but internally he thinks that I already know it, you mind your own business. Like that, internally one may maintain that attitude. But here also Kardama Muni genuinely glorified him, still Manu is not accepting all that glorification and he felt embarrassed and humbled, and he is thinking that I will come up to that standard. Right? In a genuine way he is learning from Kardama Muni. So this purport is very brilliant purport, where Manu is saying that because of your association I came to know the duties of a king. Prabhupada says the glory of saintly association. Prabhupada describes the glory of saintly association. Lord Chaitanya says that one should always try to associate with saintly persons, because if one establishes a proper association with a saintly person, even for a moment, one attains all perfection. Entire mission of human life is fulfilled. Tolayamalavena pina svargam napanar bhavam. Bhagavat sanghi sangasya martyanam kimitasishaha. Then, satam prasangan mama virya samvido. Bhavanti hirtkarna rasayana kata. There are so many beautiful verses that are glorifying the association of saintly people. Just a moment of their association, little guidance from saintly people, that will have a very deep positive impact on the lives of people that it is unimaginable. So Manu is very fortunate. Manu is feeling himself fortunate to receive such association from this Kardama Muni. This is the disciple's attitude. There was no preparation for that, but somehow or other he desired it. So Prabhupada is giving his own example. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed me to preach in English in the Western countries. That was a brief association that I received from my Guru Maharaj. On the strength of that instruction and inspiration and saintly association, now Krishna consciousness movement is flourishing in the Western countries. Prabhupada is giving all the credit to the instruction and the desire of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There was no preparation for this, but somehow or other he desired it. My Guru Maharaj desired it. And by His grace, we are now engaged in executing His order, which has given us a transcendental occupation. See, transcendental occupation. Prabhupada says, my Guru Maharaj's desire engaged me. So we all get some service in Krishna consciousness, and so-and-so devotee will engage us in our service, in that service. So if he does not come into our life and if he does not engage us in this kind of spiritual service, we would be doing something else. Right? Some spiritual personality came and enlightened us at one point of our life, and eventually we are engaged in Krishna service. So one is grateful. One should be grateful to such a person who connected us to Krishna consciousness. We learn this attitude from Prabhupada. Right? And Manu also. Because if a devotee does not intervene into the life of a materialistic person, the materialistic person will continue to be materialistic and he will visit more material universes and more material bodies. But when devotee intervenes into the life of a materialistic person, that is a turning point in his life. Right? He will be attracted to Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada is attributing the whole credit to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. I got a transcendental occupation. Otherwise, people in this world will do only material occupation. A devotee's guidance will make that occupation transcendental. What is transcendental occupation? To be able to engage in Krishna's service. Right? And he has saved and liberated us from the occupation of material activities. Prabhupada says. Thus, it is actually a fact that if one meets a saintly person completely engaged in transcendental duties and achieves his favor, then one's life mission becomes complete. What is not possible to achieve in thousands of lives can be achieved in one moment if there is an opportunity to meet a saintly person. See, Prabhupada's gratitude towards Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. What is not possible to achieve in thousands of lives can be achieved in one moment if there is an opportunity to meet a saintly person. It is therefore enjoined in Vedic literature that one always try to associate with saintly persons and try to disassociate oneself from the common man. Because by one word of a saintly person, one can be liberated from material entanglement. By one word. Murugari was constantly engaged in half killing animals, not completely killing also. And he was taking pleasure in the pain experienced by that half killed animals. He would kill them half, they are suffering with pain, and he is happy seeing that. And he says, this is how my father trained me. Then Narada Muni came in his life and trained him, you should not kill animals like this. I will tell you what to do. He gave him Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. He said, you do like this, I will send you prasad. You don't have to endeavor for maintaining your life. Seeing that such cruel hunter transformed himself into a great devotee, so many people came with a lot of gifts and prasad, right, charity, and he has much more than what he can eat without any endeavor. Right? By one word of a saintly person, one can be liberated from material entanglement. A saintly person has the power, because of his spiritual advancement, to give immediate liberation to the conditioned soul. Here Manu admits that all his doubts are now over, because Kardama was very kindly described the different duties of individual souls. So this is his gratitude towards Kardama Muni. So the purpose of saintly association is to ask relevant questions and getting spiritual directions how to lead one's life. So saintly association also is effective depending on the receptive power of the person. So many people may meet saints, but they will not be affected like a sincere person. So Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was transformed like this. But there can be thousands of people who met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, right? So there should be also some receptive attitude, right? Prabhupada often says that one should not approach a saintly person for some material benedictions, ashirvad. That is not the purpose of meeting a saintly person. One should ask relevant queries about spiritual life and get enlightenment from such saintly person. So that is the purpose of meeting a saintly man.